Justin Shannon, a big game coordinator with the Division of Wildlife Resources, said it looks like the Utah deer herds are doing well so far this year.
For this year, it started out rough. The first 2 weeks in December were pretty cold, and we were concerned. But since then, it's really warmed up, and the deer look to be doing really well.
He said the population is down compared to the 80s, but it's been fairly stable over the last decade. He said DWR personnel across the state keep an eye on the deer herds. They measure five factors to decide if they need to feed the deer.
They look at the condition of the animals going into winter. How much fat did they put on during the summer and the fall and those types of things. And then throughout the winter, we monitor the condition of the deer, both by visually going out and observing the herds and looking for roadkill deer and seeing how much fat reserves they still have on them. We also look at things like the amount of snow that they've had, the snow depths can deer get from point A to point B. Is the vegetation, is it covered with snow? Do they even have access to their food, or do they have to dig it out with their hooves? And then finally we look at things like temperature, how cold is it relative to, say, a 30-year average.
He said deep snow can create a particular problem for the deer since they only can store up food for about 8 months of the year.
The other 4 or 5 months out of the year, they're losing it. And so when you have deep snows, they're burning a lot of energy to get from one sagebrush community to the next, or say from a transitional range like a summer range to a winter range. And so they burn off their fat reserves much more quickly than if there wasn't snow. And then also, a lot of these snow amounts will cover the vegetation, and so they're just literally standing on their food and they can't get to it.
Shannon said if the DWR finds three of the five factors exist for a region, they set out a plan detailing where to feed and for how long. They have to be careful determining what to feed the deer.
Deer are an interesting animal. They're a ruminant, which means that they have bacteria in their stomach that helps them digest food. And if their diet changes too quickly, then that bacteria doesn't have time to adapt. And you can actually have deer tip over dead with full stomachs. And they die of starvation just because they've eaten food, but they can't get the nutrients out of it. And so what the division would do is we have specially formatted pellets that match deer's diet as close as possible. And we have better success with that than, say, just feeding corn or alfalfa or straw or something like that.
The state discourages the public from feeding deer for a number of reasons.
If you start congregating deer, you can have increases in disease transmission. You can have increases in vehicle-related mortalities because this usually occurs near urban settings. You concentrate predators. You foul up migration routes where deer would normally go from a summer range to a winter range, but because there's a feeding station, that gets disrupted, and they teach their young that, hey, don't go to this winter range, go to this free handout from the division, and it fouls up a lot of things. So there's a myriad of reasons why we discourage it, and generally speaking, the cons outweigh the pros when it comes to feeding deer.
Seems like you used to put salt licks out as well.
That's happened, and that's a practice that, you know, agriculture does with mineral blocks, things like that. Again, for wildlife, it's generally not a good idea, though, to congregate animals. If they can naturally spread themselves across the landscape, that's what the division would like to see.
Justin Shannon, big game coordinator from the Division of Wildlife Resources. For KPCW, I'm Rick Brough.